Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12 this morning. Hebrews chapter 12. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we do thank you this morning for your goodness and grace. I pray, God, that you would help us this morning. I pray you'd give us something from your word. Pray you'd open our hearts and minds. I pray, God, that you would help us to hear something from heaven this morning. Pray that you'd give us grace, God, to be able to understand your word. Help me to preach. Help these to hear, oh God. I recognize that there are folks who need something from you. I know I myself need something from you. And God, I pray that you'd help us to use this time very wisely, God, that I'd be able to say exactly what you want me to say. Help me to say it exactly the right way, and we'll thank you and praise you for that. Pray that you'd help us to draw near to you this morning, God. And we got very little time throughout the week. We make very little time. We've got all the time in the world, but we make very little time, God, to draw close to you. Lord, to have our hearts lifted by you, inspired by you, corrected by you. Lord, I pray you'd help us to pay very close attention today, God, that we'd be able to hear your word, that we'd be able to apply it, God, to our hearts and lives and get the benefit of it. Lord, I certainly do believe that there is a benefit to believing your word and to following your word. And I thank you, dear God, for you. Teach us that and show us that this morning. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for the life, God. We thank you for allowing us to wake up this morning. And God, we thank you for all that you've done for us. And I pray you'd help us very much this morning. In Jesus Christ's name I ask it. Amen. Amen. All right. This morning I want to talk to you a little bit about the question, do you want to live? Do you want to live? And for me personally, I want to live. There's no use in me being out there buried under 6 foot of dirt with a little rock over my head that says who I used to be. Amen. Now, I realize when you die, you go to heaven. I understand all that, and I want to go to heaven, but I believe that God put me here for a purpose, and I don't mean that in any kind of selfish, self-aggrandizing way. God has put me here to accomplish this great thing. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just God gave me this life. God gave me my family. God gave me the people I go to church with. Some people regret that, you know. Some people say, oh, man, these people. Well, all churches are the same. All people are practically the same. And you just got the lot that you got. They're all nuts. They're assorted nuts. And, you know, you open every can, they're going to be the same. Amen? And mostly the boring ones, mostly peanuts. I like eating those things as snacks. I guess they're better for you than, I don't know if they are or not, they got so much salt in them, but I guess they're better for you than Twinkies, which if you don't want to live and you're afraid of shooting yourself, just eat a bunch of Twinkies. It's a slower roll of suicide. It's a slower form of suicide, but it'll work just the same, amen? But they even got it printed right on the planner's package there, less than 75% peanuts. That means the peanuts are the bad ones, the fillers. The rest of them are the good, expensive kind. But at any rate, we go to church with mostly peanuts. Amen? And that's what most people are. They're the boring, everyday kind, the cheap kind. Amen? Amen. But we are who we are, and we got stuck with who we got stuck with. It'd be nice if you could, before you were born, you could go through this little checkout line in heaven and get to pick who your family was and how smart they were and all, you know, all the above, how rich they were. But you don't get to do that. You get dealt the life that you got. And it's my understanding from the Word of God that you got to make the most of it. You got to make the most of it. And a lot of people are waiting for somebody else to make the most of it for you. You can't do that. You can't live that way. You've got to be able to, the Bible talks about being an overcomer. Overcome evil with good. And so it's up to you to be the overcomer. It's up for you to get victories. It's up to you to win the battles in your life. Now, the Lord is going to do most of that for you, but that's what we're going to talk about this morning. So I ask you the question, do you want to live? And then I would say this, I don't know how long you're going to live, and I don't know how long I'm going to live. I want to live a long time. And I just do. I figure this life means something if God let us do it. And I normally ask the Lord in my prayers, I say, Lord, I want to live a long time. I just don't want to outlive my children. I don't think I want to go before my children go. I just don't think I can deal with that. Of all the things on earth that a man can deal with, I think that's one of the things that he doesn't want to see. And God be with you. If you lost a child or something like that, God be with you and help you. I imagine that that sort of thing never goes away. But God is able to make even that bearable for you. At least I would say bearable. God said he'd not put anything on you that you wouldn't able to bear. And the Bible says that there's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But God, who is faithful, he said he will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able. Now, sometimes temptation isn't a temptation to watch pornography. Sometimes a temptation is a temptation to despair or to quit or to fall into depression and forget your God and forget your Maker and forget all of his benefits. The Bible says, forget not all his benefits. And that'll do you good in this life if you'll remember his benefits. It's easy to recall the people that hurt your feelings. It's easy to recall the people that offended you. It's easy to recall those things. But sometimes for us men, and perhaps for you women, I don't know anything at all about being a woman. But I suppose that for you women, it's also easy to remember the offenses, the foolishness of life, the inconsistencies of others. It's easy to remember those things. But what's not so easy for the flesh is to remember that we have a graceful and a merciful and a loving Father in heaven, which when we wake up the next morning is ready to forgive. He's ready to have mercy. That's the God that we deal with. We don't deal with a bearded old man up in heaven who's so grumpy that he doesn't want to deal with anybody, sitting there with a lightning bolt in his hand ready to kill you for every offense. That is why Jesus died on the cross, to help, to forgive, to have compassion, to have mercy, to be long-suffering. All those things were enabled by the cross of Christ, a sacrifice that bought a propitiation between you and God. There was enmity between you and God. You were God's enemy. God was your enemy. There was grief between you. There was strife between you. There was hard-heartedness between you. But the Bible says that the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ was a propitiation. It was a payment for peace and brought you two together. Amen. It didn't push you two apart. It brought you together. Amen. And so that's really the life that God wants you to live as a Christian, is a life with an understanding in your heart that God is on your side and that God wants you to live. And I would say this, I don't know how long you're going to live. I don't know how long I'm going to live. But I know this, I want to live all of it. Amen. I suppose, and I couldn't completely prove this from the Bible, and I've heard people say it before, but I'm not sure I agree with exactly the way they put it. And folks say, you've got a day, and you usually hear this at funerals, it was just his time to go. That may be true, and it may not be true. Well, I know that death and life is in the power of the tongue. I know that. And we'll talk about some other verses that show that your life can be, the Bible says a wicked man will not live out half his days. Ain't that a scary thought? How many wicked men we got in the room? Well, some of us wicked men are if we're supposed to live 70 years, some of us are more than halfway. And I think it'd be good if a man lived a pretty rough life and got saved and was up above his halfway mark. I think it'd be good to start thanking God. Lord, thank you. Thank you. I'm living on borrowed time here. Thank you. But to get you that excited, somebody'd have to slam dunk a basketball or something. Am I right or wrong? Oh, grumps. You wouldn't believe the grumps over 35 years old in this country that walk around all week. Sourpuss to their wife and sourpuss to their kids. Sit down in front of a football game on Sunday and all of a sudden a guy breaks off for 35 yards. Whoa! 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 Go! What happened to Mr. Grumpy Pants? How you get excited about somebody running a football, make $35 million to do it, kneels when they play the national anthem. You making $35 million, you're not being mistreated. Amen? Well, everybody in my neighborhood's being mistreated, but you got $35 million now. Take it back to your neighborhood. Some people wasting their lives. Listen, you're going to realize that most of the people in this life who are making big noise about how bad things are in this world are the very people that's wasting their lives. They got nothing going on in their life, therefore they're going to be an activist about the way other people are living their lives. You are a time waster. Amen? Now, Jesus died for us and saved us. We've got plenty to be activists about, amen? We're to be activists for the cause of Christ, amen? And that's a good way to spend your life, I believe. Let me read the passage of Scripture here in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 9. It says this. It says, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us. Fathers corrected us. Oh, I believe that's the father's role, to do the correcting, amen? I don't know a lot about raising children, but I got a few good children, and I got one that needs a lot of correcting. That one is different from the other three. One is a male. He identifies as a male because he is a male. It didn't take me very long after his birth to identify him as a male. That boy is mean. He is a terrorist. He's a terrorist. He's an extremist. Amen. I'm afraid Marines are going to kick in the door one day and come in after him because he's a terrorist. That's what he is. But at any rate, it's my job to correct him. And mamas can't do very much about correcting boys. Now, my mama could because she was raised up old school. She'd punch you in the mouth. And little boys, I don't know why it is, and maybe yours is different, but seems like my little boy ain't got much respect for girls. I'm going to teach him. But I think boys got this natural, girl ain't going to tell me what to do. But my mama had the nice solution for that. She's a punch you in the mouth. And I got news for you. When you're about 3 pounds and you're 8 years old, somebody starts punching you in the mouth. Yes, ma'am. It's just the wise thing to do. Got this thing about being, I saw this guy yesterday, and boy, I thought, man, I'm going to get myself in trouble. Good thing I was in the car with the windows rolled up. It just wasn't easy to yell at him. Because at first it was a big girl. And she come around the car like this with her hand down, and all I could see was the top of her head and had a big old bun up there and her hair hanging down. Like I said, that girl's about to fall or something. She's feeling her way, and she stood up, and it had a beard. I was like, and I thought to myself, what a sissy. That's the way my mama used to wear her hair. That lady right there's got that kind of a hairstyle. That's girl stuff. Amen. Well, Brother Mike, that big old fellow whoopee. Well, I just got whooped by a sissy. That's all there is to it. That's all there is to it. I mean, I'm not going to look at it any other way than that. That's sissy stuff. Amen. The same thing goes for a girl. If she beats you up, you just got beat up by a girl. You have to face it. Amen. That's what happened. Mama was bigger than me. Amen. But I think there's something different when a man corrects his children. I think so. Now, I try to explain to my boy that the book of Proverbs tells us that we're to observe the law of our father and our mother. She's the boss. We don't have many young fellas and young ladies in here this morning, but your mama is your boss. Your daddy's your boss. In this passage of Scripture here, it says, we had fathers of our flesh which corrected us and we gave them reverence. They didn't let us do what we wanted to do. They made us do what they wanted us to do, and we still had reverence for them. Amen? Reverence means to revere. It means fear mingled with respect or honor. That's what reverence is. Oh, I like this person. I like this mother. I like this father. Well, if I get out of line, I might get corrected. Got to watch myself. I don't think kids have very much, I don't think they're being taught to have very much reverence. Amen. Even for their mothers or their fathers. Matter of fact, in high school, they're telling you mamas and daddies are obsolete. They're racist and they're supremacist and they're nationalist, and they're hurting the country. Well, if the country don't matter, then what's it matter if we hurt it? And imagine the news media or a bunch of school teachers and if you're a school teacher, you just have to make the most of it. I hope you're doing it right. But when school teachers hadn't been teaching kids the things, when they spend all this time on social issues and sex education and social studies and not teaching, well, as far as I'm concerned, they're the ones hurting the countries. But at any rate, that's neither here nor there. We got a bunch of kids now that don't respect nobody. And they learned that somewhere. And they didn't learn it at home. I wish people would understand that. You've been teaching your kids at home to disrespect their country and disrespect. You think mamas are teaching kids to disrespect mamas? No, sir. Well, you can do that by not teaching them anything or saying one thing in front of them and doing another. Do as I say, not as I do, is not an effective teaching method. You may have the power to enforce that, but you're just making a little devil is all you're creating by doing that. But we don't have time for teaching that lesson this morning. Of course, I thought I would take a shot at you. Amen. Just in case. Because you think there ain't some parents sitting in the Baptist church using that kind of approach. Do as I say, not as I do. You're creating a little hypocrite. Amen. You're training them to be a hypocrite. And the Bible says the way you train them, they're not going to depart from it. Listen, you teach them to be a little hypocrite when they're little, it's going to be hard to break that habit when they get older. They have to be retrained. And hopefully AOC ain't the one doing the training. Amen? Mm-hmm. What would you do if somebody showed up to your house to take you away for retraining? Yes, sir. You do the same thing you do when a cop gives you a ticket. Thank you, sir. That's true, ain't it, Brother Joe? Yes, it is. Yes, sir. I'll tell you what. I'll tell them. Cop pulls you over. That 40 caliber on his side makes a big difference, don't it? Thank you. Have a nice day. Yeah, because you fear. That's where you respect it. A lot of people don't even respect that. That's also another sermon. Let me move on. Reverence. Said our fathers correct us. We gave them reverence. Now look what he says. Shall we not much rather? Much rather. You ever use that word? When mama gives you green beans and you say, I'd rather have, you know, chocolate cake. This is something that's supposed to be better. It's supposed to be more preferable. He says, much rather be in subjection unto the Father. Now that word subjection means the state of being under the power, control, or the government of another. And O. Webster, he gives a good little side note to this definition of subjection. He says the appetites and passions should be in subjection to good reason. That means that's all internal. Your appetites, the thing that your heart says, I got to have that, I got to have that, I got to have that, I got to have that. The Bible says, or the Bible, because the 1828 is inspired. No. The definition of that gave you an example that even says that agrees with the Bible. And it says that there's a warfare going on inside. You've got appetites, you've got desires that are going on inside your heart, and there ought to be something else in there. Good reason. And those appetites and desires should be in subjection under the government of, under the control of good reason. Good reason said, I shouldn't do that. That's bad. And I believe you get the idea that things are bad through reading your Bible and going to church and praying and going to church and hearing the preaching and then going to your bedroom and praying and going to your bedroom and reading your Bible and praying and getting in touch with God. It builds good reason, builds good character. The Bible says evil communication corrupts good manners. So those mannerisms that you got inside of your heart, that's a good illustration Webster gave us right there. Webster sounded like a preacher, not a dictionary writer to me. Amen? I'd like to see the modern day dictionary that's being put out with Bible verses in it. So, well, you know, this is a secular society. Hadn't always been. Hadn't always been. So, well, I like it better now. People have more freedoms. I don't think so. I believe people got less freedoms. That's what I believe. Amen. Well, back when Webster was writing his dictionary, they didn't have no school shootings. I believe I rest my case right there. Now you give your example. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. The whole decade of the 60s was a train wreck. Anybody in here? I got born in 1970. Missed the 60s. Got any 60s people? Anybody alive in the 60s? One. Brother Jack, two, three. Three people alive in the 60s. Boy, the 60s was a train wreck. It really was. Amen. Well, I'll preach that message. Write that down. The 60s was a train wreck. We'll preach that later because it's true. Amen. But at any rate, want to show you a couple things here in the time I got left. You watch the clock while I'm preaching, and I was watching the clock while you were singing. I'm about to run out of time, amen. But at any rate, let me finish up here. I didn't mean to make it sound like it was going to be instantaneous, but I'll be done in a minute, amen. But he says this. He says, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Now, I love that verse. I've been reading that verse since 1975. Go through my Bible. Every time I run across that verse, it just has a ring to it. You know why it has a ring to it? Because there's something in there that every person on the planet's looking for, and that's how to live. How to live. You say, Brother Mike, you believe that verse meant what it said expressly, and I believe what it means expressly. I believe if you want to live, I believe you've got to be in subjection to God. And again, I say this, I don't know how long you've got to live, and I don't know if God has a date of your death or not. I know God said death and life is in the power of the tongue. That's over in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 18. But I don't know if you've got an exact day that's scheduled for your death, but I know this. I believe if you're going to live all of those days, if that is the case, if you want to live all of those days, I believe you've got to be in subjection to God. Well, Brother Mike, there's, you know, health and heredity and there's genetics and all that. I don't believe that stuff has any bearing on it whatsoever. He said, don't you believe God has certain things that he has in his own power and his own way? Certainly I do. Certainly I do. But I don't believe that's the case for every person. I don't believe that's the case at all. Listen, if I could understand God and the way he dealt with every person and the way he dealt with every life, my goodness, I'd be a know-it-all then, wouldn't I? But I'm not a know-it-all. I don't understand all those things. But I know this, God put it in the book to give us an idea about how to lengthen our days, or how to strengthen our days, whatever the case might be, if it's going to be a long life or a short life or whatever the case is. You know, I've known some folks that die young that was in subjection to God. So what God does with a person like that is under his own power. But I know this, there is going to be people, Brother Joe, in this life that are going to live 70 and 80 and 90 years and never will be in subjection to God. And their life, the length of days may be long, but how worthless are they? Spent without purpose? Spent without direction? You say, well, they're a Fortune 500 company. That's not purpose. That's not direction. It might be direction from the devil, but it's not a purpose that came from on high. God never said, thou shalt go out and be a millionaire, become a Fortune 500. That's not the measure of success in life. Amen. And in this, in a sermon like this, you're tempted to talk about things like that, but we're not even talking about necessarily success and what is a success, and what we could talk about all those things if we wanted to, but you got to understand this. God gave you this life, and it's only for a moment. It's only for a moment. Even if you did live 70 years, the Bible says it's just a vapor. It comes up and it passes away. Amen. And we're tempted to spend a whole lot of our life grieving about things that are lost or things that are unattainable, when that we still have life. And we still have purpose. Amen? And then you get to a place where you're very tempted to even grieve over loved ones, which you should always have remembrance of loved ones. You should, listen, boy, there's some people in my family that we've lost over the years that I wouldn't even consider good people, but they were my people. And I loved them. And I love them to this day. And there's things that I regret about their lives that I wish that they would have done differently. Amen? And there's a regret that wouldn't able to say things or do things and all that sort of things. But you know, those hard sorrows and regrets that we have about those that we've lost can be meaningful in our own lives when we consider our own direction, our own purpose, our own time. And time is short. Time is short. So when time was short for this particular individual that I loved. And the end result of that shouldn't be sorrow and emptiness. I'm not saying that sorrow and emptiness shouldn't be there. I'm saying the end result of that tragedy shouldn't be sorrow and emptiness. It should be, I also am going to have a day that I must lay down. Before that day, I've got to get the most out of my life. I've got to get the most potential. I've got to give God the most glory. I've got to fulfill His purposes in my life the very best I can, because that same end is coming to me. And I want to meet it well. I must meet it well. I have to. My whole eternity. Listen, if you believe in God, if you believe in eternity, that eternity is going to so far outstretch this little veil of tears that we live in, that every single second that you've got in this life matters. And I want to have as many of those seconds as I possibly can. And he said this. He said, be in subjection to the Father of lights and live. And live. And boy, that has so much meaning. For one, it means draw a breath, exhale, heartbeat, heartbeat. We've got them right now. Amen? You have life right now. Means you have opportunity. Means you have a chance. You're alive. You're an organic being. You're here. Congratulations. Right? But then it also means to live. The world says it like this. Oh, we're really living. Are you? By smoking a cigarette, that means you're really living. Boy, we went out last night and tied one on. Got drunk as a monkey. Woo! That's really living, is it? That's not living. You may, listen, you're going to do stuff like that, smoke dope and get drunk, you just hit the pause button. You're not living. That's not living. That's foolishness. Amen, that's true. Get out and live and try to make money for your family and try to buy a car and try to buy a house. And for a great portion of your life, if you're a drinker or a smoker on a regular basis, you're going to hit the pause button and get out of your mind. What for? What's wrong with your mind? See, the world says, I don't believe in God and I don't need God to direct my life. I don't need this. I don't need that. Well, what are you trying to get out of it for? What you trying to get away from it for? What's getting drunk? What is the draw for getting drunk? Listen, if you were walking around like a normal human being, hey, how you doing? Hey, buddy, what's happening? How you doing? Yeah, man, yeah, let me send a text, right? walking around living a regular, normal life, if you were walking around doing a regular, normal life and all of a sudden you went, you'd sit down somewhere and call 911. I think I'm dying. There's something wrong with me. But you walking around like a normal human being, open a beer can, start drinking it down, drink it down one after the other, and then get up and, man, I'm really living. No need to call 911 now. You're sitting in math class doing your little, trying to find X. And next thing you know, I see some of you been there before. Man, you're going to get an F. You're going to fail. But you buy some junk in a paper bag or a plastic bag and do that to yourself? That's not living. You just bought a bag of failure. Call up your neighborhood dealer and say, I'd need a bag of failure, please. $10 bag. $10 bag of failure. That's not living. That's dying, man. That is dying. It's death. Death, prepackaged and wrapped up. They're trying to make that illegal as fast as they possibly can. Because that's what they're dealing in this world. They're dealing death. They're not dealing life. They're dealing death. Amen. Amen. Now that word and live, or that phrase and live, be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live. I don't believe that's a passive statement. I believe that's a direct result. I believe that God has given us, I don't like to say secret, or the keys to living. But I believe God's given us a manner that we can live. Amen? That we can really live. Ephesians chapter 6. Let me give you a couple of verses. You can look at these things yourself. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I believe he meant that just like he said it. Obey your parents in the Lord. Now, this is extreme. It may not happen on a regular basis, but listen. Your parents ask you to go help them steal something, don't do it. The Lord has given you a life. The Lord's given you some sense of normality. People, that's even wrong in the sight of the world. I don't want to be normal. Well, what do you want to be? I asked a kid in the mall one time. He's wearing all black, had black fingernail paint, and had black clothes and black eyeliner and black. I said, what's this all about? It was kind of a new fad. People just started. I said, hey, what's this all about? What's going on? He said, I'm trying to be different, man. I'm like, you mean like those 15 kids over there? Yeah. You're not being different. Everybody's doing the same thing. You mean you're trying to be rebellious? That's what you mean. Mom and dad dress like a square, so you're going to do your own thing. That's what they mean. I'm trying to be hip, trying to be cool, man. You're a nut. You look like an idiot. Amen. Just like we look like idiots. Amen. Boy, let me tell you, the 80s and the 70s were full of idiots. I'll leave it right. I don't have time to elaborate. But the Bible calls this the first command with promise. He said that it may be well. Well, let me read verse 2. Honor thy father and mother. Now, there's the difference. You obey them in the Lord. Otherwise, you honor them. And I think they overlap. You should honor them all the time. You should obey them all the time. But you don't go rob the bank. You don't go, since we're on the subject, you don't go, you know, plant a pot field with your mom and dad. Well, I'm your daddy. I'm telling you right now. No. Well, say, isn't that rebellious? It's common sense. Amen? I don't want daddy to go to jail, and I don't want to go to reform school. If you think going to a Baptist church is bad on Sunday morning, try reform school. Amen. Try juvenile hall. Amen. Amen? So I'm not doing that. You're teaching them to disobey. I'm talking about disobeying when it's wrong to do. Amen? You got to learn to do that before. And you'll find out that that's stuff. I received an order when I was in the Marine Corps. They said, do this. I ain't doing it. Well, I'm your commanding officer. I don't give a rip. That ain't right to do it. I ain't doing it. You think they're going to court-martial you and say, I gave them a direct order to whatever it might be. I gave them a direct order to shoot this guy in the face. He disobeyed it. Well, you're not going to get far trying to punish somebody like that. Amen. Judge, I was just beating this kid because he wouldn't help me plant my weed. If it's not going to hold up, it certainly ain't going to hold up with an almighty God. Amen. Now, you try to use that to your own advantage, God will get you. But I think everybody understands the point I'm trying to make. I'm not giving people a license to disobey their parents when their parents are right and good. And you ought to give your parents the benefit of the doubt. They've been here a few weeks longer than you have. Amen. Well, I've been here 35 years. Well, what difference does that make? That's where the honor part comes in. Maybe they're not the best parents in the world, but they're yours. Amen. They're yours. I'll tell you this, when they're gone, you'll regret them arguments and talking back and foolishness and such as that. Amen. Well, you don't realize what you got when you got a mom and dad. Even if, listen, when I was about 4 years old, well, not 4 years old, when I was 4 years old, I lost my dad as far as being a physical presence and was told bad things about him all the days of my life. The reason I was told bad things about him is because he was a bad fella. He wasn't a good fella. He wasn't a loving Hallmark dad. But when he died, I was 18 years old and I felt like I'd lost something. Why? Because he was my dad. All the good reasons you've got for dishonoring somebody, with a very few exceptions, I'll give you that. There are very few exceptions. But with very few exceptions, not going to make much difference when they're gone. Am I telling the truth or am I lying? You say, why? Because they're out of all the knotheads in the world, those two knotheads you live with are yours. Amen. They may need serious help, but they're yours. Honor them. Even if you can't obey them, even if you can't even speak with them, there ought to be a sense of honor in your heart. The same, we're running out of time. See, you look at life cut and dry, you make a lot of mistakes in life. The Bible says God is angry with the wicked every day. Does it say that or don't it? Well, the object in life is not to forget that. Just because God died on the cross, God is still angry with the wicked every day. And you say, well, God's going to send people to hell. That is a startling and real fact. But at the same time, what you don't realize, all these people are so bad and he's angry with them, he'll send them to hell one day. At the same time, he has a heart to forgive them and will forgive them. He's not going to forgive them before they come and ask forgiveness with real repentance. He's not going to do that part for them, and neither should you. But you ought to always have that sense in your heart that if they would get right, I would so love to get right myself. You say, what is that? That's honor. In that sense, God has honored you as your maker. He's made a way for you. He's went above and beyond for you. He's done everything in the world that he could possibly do for you. And just gaining that mentality in your own life will make life so much more richer for you. You'll not only be alive with the heart beating and lungs breathing, but you'll have a sense of life like, man, this is a whole different way of looking at things. This way of looking at things doesn't cause any depression at all. Some sadness because things can't be right. Maybe some grief in the sense of, I've done everything in my power to make this right and I can't do it. Now it's up to them. That sense will be there, but also the grudges, the bitterness that strangle the life out of you, that dissolves away. And you're not only living, but you're living. Amen? I've got to read Proverbs. I've got to read Proverbs, or I don't think, who knows what the Lord will let me do next week. Let me have just a minute more of your time here. Proverbs I could pick this up again next week, but I believe the Lord wants me to do something else next week. But at any rate, that's what happens when you pray. The Lord gets involved in stuff, and he like changes your plans around, so you just can't do what you want to do. But at any rate, we'll come back to chapter 1 in a little bit. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. I told you Proverbs 18:21, it says death and life are in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 133, it talks about the blessing of life. God can bless you, and it can produce life. Amen? Well, look at this, what it says in Proverbs chapter number 3. My son, forget not my law. We're talking about the Father of spirits now. I believe it's absolutely okay to look at this from the standpoint of you and God. This is Solomon and his sons. But I absolutely believe that God gave you this so that it could be a direct letter to God, from God to you. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days. Is that what you're looking for? And long life. Is that what you're looking for? You know what? You say, well, Brother Mike, that's Old Testament. Simon Peter said, now, most people, Simon Peter's tribulation. Okay. You know what Simon Peter says in that tribulation passage, don't you? He that would love life and see good days. Tribulation, good days. He that would love life and see good days, let him eschew evil. That's the same thing this says. It's the same thing. Keep God's heart. God, keep God's law. Eschew evil. Do right, not wrong. You know, what does doing right do for me, Brother Mike? I mean, I won't get to go to the parties. Won't get to wear my yogurt pants no more. I won't get to do all these fun things. Who told you it wasn't fun living for God? Who told you that? That's a falsehood. The devil told you that. It's a great life. It's a great life. Plus, well, I don't have time to get into that, but it was good. The thought that I was going to give you was good. Amen. That's the best way to preach right there. Start to say something, then don't say it. It was going to be great, though. Amen. He says, for length of days and long life and peace. How about that? Long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee, bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God. I was going to give you a passage out of Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 9. For they shall be an ornament of grace upon thy head. You know what people are doing? They're putting little bracelets around their neck, you know, a cross. What would Jesus do? This is my good luck charm. Rabbit's foot. Well, that's that ornament of grace. That's what it is, except for the good luck charm is not on the outside. You don't wear it on the outside. And I know, there's no such thing as a good luck charm. I understand that. But that's what they get. This is my talisman. No, that's just a necklace. No, this crystal on the end, that means I'm going to have good luck. No, it doesn't. It's a rock. Amen. Amen. It's just a rock. It's a pretty rock. I'll give you that. I got this pink talisman so that I'll find love. Sorry. It don't work that way. You find love by being lovable. Not by wearing the pink rock or the green rock. The green rock brings me money. It's my jade talisman. No, you are an idiot. You're an idiot. But if you want something to wear around your neck, it'll be the grace of God. It'll be an ornament of grace. The following God. That's where it's at. It's inside. It's hanging on the inside. And the Bible says you be in subjection to the God of life, to the Father of spirits, you'll live. Long life. Follow his commandments. Find out what God wants you to do and do that, Brother Joe. You'll live. I'll tell you this, you'll live as long as God wants you to. I know this. You don't follow him. You may not live as long as God wants you to. I know God wants you to live. And I think the people who are living in the most danger are the people who are living closest to God. I believe that. Hear God's word. hear God's truth, walk away from that. It's the most dangerous life you can live. I know there's people someplace in other places and other lands where their churches have already closed and things are dark in their country, things are dark in their life, and it seems like they're getting away with things. But David said in the book of Psalms, he said, no, you better consider their end. Perhaps there's a time and a place where a man can come to where God just let him go and live the rest of life and he won't correct him no more. But I don't believe he's done with us yet. Don't believe that. But I know this, I want to live. And say, how do I do it? Get in subjection to God. Subject yourself to him. God, you can have control of me. And boy, what a fight you'll be in for. I'm up against it. Got to quit. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Pray you'd help us. Lord, I pray you'd open the scriptures to our hearts. Lord, we can talk about these things, and I could be a much better speaker. It ought to be that I was a much greater speaker. But Lord, I can only do what you've given me, the little brain power that I got. I can only do with that what I can, Lord. But I pray that you'd make it real, that the message that was trying to be put across this morning, that you'd make it real to the hearts of the people, that if they put themselves in subjection to you and follow you, Lord, that you'd put all heaven on their guard. And Lord, I pray that you would call out for yourself, God, some workers out of this church and out of this community that would serve you and be faithful to you and walk after your commandments and walk after your paths, God, the paths of righteousness that you've laid out for our feet. And Lord, that they would live in the time that they are breathing and the time that their heart's beating, that they would get the very most out of life that they could possibly get, that they'd live it to the fullest, that they'd have great joy and great peace in their life. Lord, you said we follow your commandments, that it would add length to our days, length to our life, and that we'd see good days. And Lord, I pray that for every person that's sitting in this room, God, I pray they'd come to the place where they find good days following you. And I thank you for what you do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray it. Amen. Amen. All right, take a little break this morning.